The good news, and we've been hearing about the good news, and I'm very thankful for the good news. You know, we back in the day when I was in high school, they had senior prophecies, that kind of stuff. I don't know if they still have those, do they? You don't even know what I'm talking about? I guess not then. Pardon? Predictions? Well, whatever they were called. Mine was, Ron's been going around all year doing a Cary Grant imitation, Judy, Judy, Judy. Y'all really liked that. I can tell y'all really were impressed with that. I'm getting strange looks really up here. Today's theme's joy. Robert Kelly goes around his house all the time. Joy, joy. And he gets louder as he goes. Joy! Anything to do that, Robert? Well, that's all free. Y'all don't have to pay a bit more for that. The good news of Jesus Christ the Lord. You know the story. You've read the story. You know what Luke 2 has to say. But I pray it'll take your heart, your mind back to that here today. And even in this story, the greatest story that's ever been told, it's not all rosy. It's not all perfect, if you will. This story has conflict and it has trial, even in the greatest story that's ever been told. So it's not all just a cozy, warm, feeling type thing. There's trials in the story, but it brings great, great joy in the end. And the story's still going on today. Luke 2, 1 through 20. There it is. You can see it on the screen. You can turn to whatever device, Bible you have, and we'll read it together. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them. And all who heard it were amazed at the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The birth of Jesus Christ our Lord. You've read it many times. You've celebrated it many times. And I pray you're celebrating it again today. All kinds of unusual events had to take place. Things out of the norm had to take place for this story to come together the way prophecy said it would come together. And sure enough, God with his mighty hand put it all together that we have this wonderful Christmas story in front of us. The taxation. How did that just happen? No, it was part of God's mighty hand moving things to get people to the right place. The right place of birth. The angels to the shepherds. Excuse me. Who would have thought that the angel would appear to shepherds? They're the lows of the low. And no angel, people would tell you, are going to be talking to the shepherds. Non-religious folks. But guess what they ended up doing? Praising God for what had been told to them. Now, if you look at the first six verses on the screen, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. God, in his hand and his wisdom, he says, okay, this taxation is going to take place. It's going to help fulfill the plan that as it's been told for the birth of the Messiah. It's going to happen like it was prophesied. The Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. So Mary and Joseph lived in Galilee. And now Mary is, the King James Version says, great with child. I remember the joke or the laugh about Cameron when she was carrying her baby and Mr. Raymond, she went to see him. And he told somebody, he said, she's great with child. He's been reading the King James Version, hasn't he? God worked it all together. Here she is, the taxation. They had to go back to where they were born, and that got them to the right place, the city of his birth, and it takes place, fulfilling Scripture. Now, verse 7 on the screen, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, wrapped him in cloths, placed him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Many scriptures, many sermons, I should say, has been preached on that verse right there. And they take all kinds of angles to them. But here's Jesus' birth. Now, we're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. We're talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord. Get a hold of it. Get a hold of God in human flesh being born in a manger, in a cave, in a stable. Get a hold of that in your mind. The greatness, the majesty of Almighty God coming to earth in human flesh. This is the greatest story that's ever been told and will ever be told, is that truly God came to this world for you and I. And here Jesus is in the manger, in a feeding trough, not in a nice hospital, not with all the sonograms and the heartbeat monitors and all the goodies we have today, but he was born in a stinky stable, placed in a feeding trough with messy, stinky animals, and we're talking about royalty. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and this is where he was born, in a stable. No room even in the inn for Mary to go. He was humble. He was born in a humble situation, in a corrupt world, full of sin, full of selfishness. The innkeeper, we could go and talk about that forever. But the bottom line, he was selfish. He saw a lady here. He didn't have any room. He could have made room someplace, I believe. But he didn't care. People around them didn't care. No, nobody wanted to make room for Mary at the time. But oh, if they would have only known. Now Luke 2:8-12 on the screen. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." There's that word today, joy, that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior's been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So here's the shepherds, the low of the low, if you will. Nobody thought that an angel would appear to them. They're representing the lowest class, if we've got to say it that way. And the angels appear to them. Jesus' birth, we got a stable, we got stinky animals, we got a feeding trough. We've got the shepherds that were looked down on as the low of the low, and the angels come and talk to them first. Tells us something about who He is. God gave the first message to common shepherds, not to the kings, but common shepherds. Why? Because He's coming to save the people. He's coming to save sinners. And they were noted as sinners. And the announcement came to them first. Has great meaning. Verses 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Here's this appearance. I mean, a spectacular appearance of the heavenly host. Here they are, a host, an army of angels, 10,000 times 10,000, and here they are proclaiming their message. And they say, talking about peace and goodwill toward men. Verses 15 through 18, when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had to say. The shepherds were excited. Remember, they're out here in the fields. They're out here with the low, if you will, class. And here the angel came. Here the heavenly host appeared. And that got them on the excitement train. They said, "Let's go. Let's hurry. Let's immediately go. Let's go see what we have been told." So here they go. They take off and they rush to see this babe there in the manger. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. What was Mary thinking about? You know, I think it's just too much for us to even try to comprehend. I know it was too much for her to comprehend too, that if she was pondering all this, she's treasuring up all these things and pondered them in her heart. What, you know, I've been around my own wife when she delivered our three children. I've been there to see her actions and reactions, and we can laugh and all that, but the things in her mind and the love and how the ladies ponder this stuff and think about all that's happened, and then they hold that baby. And, you know, that's all I've experienced. I experienced a grandchild and your own daughter holding her son, and just all that, the emotion and all that's going on. And here's Mary now. You know her story well. And she's been said, "Listen, you're chosen by God to carry His son." Well, it had to scare. Here's that "fear not" again, the Bible's full of. But it had to scare. And here's Joseph. You know that story. And wait a minute. We've been through the betrothal. You know, we've got this year to go here. And before we live together and be together as one. And how's she going to tell Joseph all about this? And how all the people in the town, and it's been to the quote betrothal and all that, and how she had to go through that. And it goes much, much longer and deeper than that. But now she's had this baby, the Messiah. And she knew it. She realizes it. This is the Messiah. I've delivered God's Son. He's come. Wow. She pondered all these things. And we don't even hit the tip of the iceberg. The things she was pondering. You think she was tired. You think she was worn out. You think she was exhausted. You know she was. And yet she was pondering all this up in her mind. And bowed before the Lord and worshiped Him. These shepherds, they're spreading the news. They're telling everybody they run into. I mean, Facebook's going wild. Instagram, it's popping up all over the place. I don't think they had it, huh? But they're telling everybody. They're telling this story. How? Let me tell you what's happened. Let me tell you how what the angels have said here. And the shepherds were praising God. You run into those guys. And now they're praising God, and it's like, wow, what's happened to them? What are they doing? And you say, man, what a story. Yes, it's a great story. But the journey's messy. The journey is not, quote, perfect, textbook. It is perfect in God's sense. Happened the way He wanted it to happen. But it's like us in life today. Life can be messy. Life can take turns that we don't expect, and Mary had some turns she didn't expect. Life's messy. Did Mary question God when He said, you know, you're chosen, you're going to carry a Jesus? Did she question that? She ended up saying, as you say, may your will be done. But she had some questions. I would think the answer would be yes. She had to have some questions. Did she say to God, maybe, why this way, God? I don't know exactly all she said. I have no way of knowing. But when you're living life and you know, the story you're living, and it has twists and turns, and sometimes it goes ways we don't understand. Have you ever said, why, God? Probably so. Have you ever said, God, why has it got to be this way? Probably so. But God was doing something great. God was doing something great, that His Son would be born at the place and the time that He designed. Mary and Joseph and all these players would be going along with what God had put in place and plan. Even the taxation was part of that plan. And they went through what God wanted them to go through. And He was doing something great. The Savior was born. Now, when life's messy for us, when we've got a question and say, why has it got to be this way, God? You remember and don't ever forget that God's up to something great. If you're His child, if you're giving your heart to Him, and you're truly a genuine born-again believer, God's always up to something good in your life. Will life be messy? Yes, at times it will be. Will it take a turn you don't understand? Yes, it will. But God is doing something great. Amen? You still believe God's doing great things? You don't sound like it. Is God still doing great things? Go out and get me some rocks. The Bible says if your people won't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. Do you still believe that God is doing great things? You think I'll take it or ask one more time? He's doing great things when life seems messy. Don't forget it. And He brings beauty out of brokenness. You want to talk about brokenness? There's brokenness in this story. But yet he brings this beauty out of it. What's God done for you in the past? I want you to remember. I want you to go back in your own mind. And for some of you, that's many, many years. For some, it may be short. But think about what God has done for you in your past. Think about where God has stepped in, and it seemed like just the nick of time. Think about when God's been leading you down a path, and it might have took years to get there. But remember what God has been doing in your life in the past. And He's still up to great things. Well, should I ask God, what are you up to? Should I ask God, what in the world's happening? I don't understand this. I believe God's big enough to handle it. I heard people growing up and say, well, we're not supposed to question God. Well, we're not to question His sovereignty, but we can say we're human and God, I don't understand this right here. I don't see good out of it. Or what are you doing? But we know by faith, we know by the actual written word of the living God that He's always up to something good. We know, because we just sing it, that God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. The good news, the greatest story, you've read it. You know it. I pray it changes your life. You can say, well, it did. I'm saved. Or, oh, I'm not saved, but I'm thinking about getting saved. Or on and on. Wherever we're at today, let the story change your life. Let the peace and the love and the joy is the theme today, the candle of joy, that the joy that this brought. Yes, there was questions. Yes, there was messy times. Yes, there was some not understanding. But at the end of the day, it brings great joy because we know God's with us. You can trust Him. You can trust the Lord in any circumstance of life because He died for you and He loves you. Would you stand with me? Our Father, today we thank You and we praise You for the Scripture that tells us about the birth of Jesus. It's not a new story for us. We read it every year, and we read it as we study Scripture. But Lord, do we grasp it today? What is it today in 2019 You would have us to take to our hearts out of this story today? We confess, we know the story, we've read it many times, and we know it's Christmas time. We know we're celebrating Your birth. But like Robert and Angie were singing, and it moved my heart. Are we worshiping other gods? Are we putting things in our life that we just simply enjoy ahead of our Savior? I believe You've given us life. You've given us abundant life. You want us to enjoy life. But You want us to always keep You first and foremost. So You are our God. You are the Savior of the world. And we're so thankful to know You. How can we ever thank You enough? How can we ever praise You enough? That You love the world so much that You gave Your only Son. that we can have eternal life. And you prove that on a cross when you died for our sin. You proved the victory when you arose on the third day. And when you went to heaven and seated at the right hand of God, it tells us of your authority. So we stand before the greatest king that's ever been. We stand before Almighty God of this universe. And we want to say thank you. We want to praise you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and all that you have done. So this Christmas season, this moment in time, may we ask ourselves, are we glorifying our Lord? Are we glorifying our Savior in the way that we live? And God, if people want to come around the altar and just simply praise you and thank you for who you are, fine. If they want to do it in the pew, fine. But God, may we not leave this place without saying thank you, thank you, thank you for who you are and what you've done for me. And if someone needs to be saved today, I pray they'll come around this altar and get saved. Thank you that it's available. True salvation is available through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way. You are the only way to get to heaven and to be saved is through Jesus. We love you. We praise you. And we adore you. Now God, have your way with us. Right now, in this place, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.